Good morning to our online family. This morning, we're going to continue in our Holy Suggestions series. Everybody say Holy Suggestions. It's a series that we're talking about we're talking about God's wisdom. You know, the enemy, he has suggestions for your life. He tries to plant seeds of doubt and of temptation and of distraction. But God has seeds of focus. God has seeds of faith. God has seeds of wisdom. And a lot of that wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs. So in this series, we're kind of just jumping through the book of Proverbs, highlighting some parts, but I want to remind you today, what is today's date? September 1st. And so there is a chapter of Proverbs for every date of the month. So today, that means we should read what? Proverbs chapter 1. So today, if you haven't done it already, when you go home today, read Proverbs 1. And tomorrow you'll what? Okay, we're a little hesitant right there. That means that tomorrow we'll read Proverbs 2. And then the day after that, we'll read what? Oh, we are so good. So Proverbs 3 is actually what I want to read from today. So on Tuesday, you'll reread the two verses that we're going to read today. Is that cool with you? And just as a reminder, I want to, this is good to remind yourself of this. When I was reading the Proverbs yesterday, I went back to this definition of wisdom that Pastor Toledo gave us. Wisdom is this: aligning our living and thinking with God's truth, purpose, and design. Lewis Goldberg said, wisdom is his character in the many practical affairs of life. And today, I want to get real practical, but I want to challenge the way that we think and the way that we approach some aspects about God's view of us. And so with that, open up, if you have your Bibles, open up to Proverbs 3 if you haven't already. If not, we're going to have it on the screen. But it's just two verses, so this is very simple. And these are two good verses to memorize. The Bible says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Then you will win what? Favor. Everybody say favor. Favor. Everybody say favor. Favor. The title of today's message is Wisdom Finds Favor. Wisdom finds favor. And we're going to talk about this, but to find favor, that means that for wisdom to find favor, that means that sometimes you have to seek after it. Sometimes you have to search after it. Sometimes you have to ask for it. Sometimes it just comes. You know, God's favor is unexpected. His character is consistent, but his favor is oftentimes unexpected. But God still says, hey, you, I want to give favor to you. I want to give favor to you. And so with that, let us pray real quick. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together, oh God. Lord, we even just by being in your house, just by being in the palm of your hands, in the sight of your eye, oh God, Lord, we call ourselves favored, oh God. But Lord, because, oh God, your favor extends, we can ask for more, oh God. We don't have to settle. We don't have to, Lord, we don't have to stop asking, oh God. Lord, your favor wants to continually bless us. So find us today with your eyes, with your hand of favor. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said? Amen, amen and amen. Real quick, two quick stories that I just kind of remembered this morning. One, I have a friend from high school that a few years ago he was living in another city, and so I was in that city for something unrelated, and I called him and I said, hey, let's, any chance you could grab lunch? And so he said, yeah, meet me tomorrow, meet me at this place. And so I pull up and I knew what he did for a living, but it didn't dawn on me that we would be doing anything relating to his work for lunch. He worked for Nike Corporate. So he worked at their corporate offices. And I went out of town, when I went out of town, I reached out to him once I got there. I didn't have this planned. And so I pull up to where he tells me to meet. We embrace and we start to walk. He says, before we grab lunch, I want to show you my office. I want to show you the offices, the Nike corporate offices. And I'm like, cool. And then I look at my shoes and I have three stripes on them. I'm wearing Adidas. And I look at my shirt and I'm wearing an Adidas shirt. And so it's a Saturday, so thankfully it wasn't as populated as usual, but there were still a lot of people in those offices. And as we were walking through the offices, I was like, anytime we would meet somebody that he introduced me to, I'd kind of have my hands like this. Good to meet you, good to meet you. And we went, and at the end, we walked out, and I was like, I feel so embarrassed. And he's like, yeah, you should. I didn't even have to say why I was embarrassed. He knew why I was embarrassed. He knew exactly what I was talking about. I think he even took a lot of pleasure from it. Right after that, though, the reason I bring that up is to make a little bit of a fool of myself. But also, right after that, when we were talking that day, he was sharing with me that he was frustrated, that he was really good at his job, he felt. And a few times, three or four times, there was a promotion that he really wanted that he got passed over. And it was like time and time again. And he didn't blame. He wasn't angry. He was just disappointed. He was like, that, I really wanted that. And now I've probably got to wait, and I don't know why I'm not getting looked at for that. And I remember shortly after that, he got approached by a rival, like a competing company. And the way that he tells the story is at first he wasn't interested. And they kept asking him, hey, just entertain the offer, just entertain this job that we have for you. And as they approached him, it was it was an even higher job than the one that he wanted at his current company. And they started asking him, and he's like, you know what, it's not like me to leave ship. It's not like me to jump ship and to bounce somewhere else. And I really like my position. I really like where I'm at. I like the people I work with. I don't want to leave. So you know what, I'll entertain it, but we'll see where it goes. And the more that they talked, the more open he was. And he was still like, you know what, I don't want to do it. So they went to have like an official kind of negotiation, an official offer. And they were going to talk salary. And he said, you know what, I'm going to write down on a piece of paper, double what I make now. And if they offer that, then I'll listen. And he walks in, and he's got the paper in his pocket, and they start to talk, and they say, well, here's what we want to offer you. And they show him what they're going to offer him. And it's more, it's almost double what he had written down in his pocket. And so he said that he looked at it, and he was so surprised, he didn't know how to respond. And then they said, and listen, we will let you live wherever you want. You can work from wherever you want. And they didn't know that he had been wanting to move back home to Chicago. And so the way that he tells the story is this. He says, when they said that, I didn't even realize that was on the table. And can I tell you something? Oftentimes, as children of God, we don't realize that God has everything on the table for us. But all it takes is that we ask and believe and expect it. Similarly, I was talking to Pastor Josh, who's preaching today in Philly, at Philly Tab, and he said yesterday he was at the park with his two sons, and his two sons are playing catch, and another kid walks, you know, runs over, and they see Josh. Pastor Josh has his a few gloves and some baseball equipment, and the kid says, just very boldly, hey, can I play? And Pastor Josh says, yeah, let's play catch. So he starts playing catch with the kid. And he starts to ask the kid about himself. He says, hey, where do you live? And the kid's throwing the ball back. He says, oh, I live in the shelter. And there's a shelter a few blocks away. And so Pastor Josh is playing, and he keeps asking him about himself, and the kid's so joyful. And he's asking Pastor Josh questions about how to throw the ball, about how to catch the ball. And so the time comes where he has to leave, and Pastor Josh says, hey, I don't know what his name was. Hey, Sammy, I have something for you. This baseball, you take it. And the kid says, oh, you mean I go over here and then I throw it back? And Pastor Josh says, no, this baseball, you take it. It's yours. And he says, oh, you mean like I'll go over here and then you'll throw it to me? Pastor Josh says, no, this baseball, I'm giving it to you as a gift. It's yours to take and to have and to do whatever you want with. And the kid looked at him and he started to tear up. And he said, I didn't even know that was an option. Can I tell you something? Favor is comes in unexpected ways. We don't realize a lot of what God has for us, that there are even options. But God says, hey, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to open your ears. I want you to open your mind and your heart to the things that I can do for you, because they are beyond explanation. They are beyond what you could think. They are beyond what you could conjure up for yourself. Favor, it rests in God. It's not about you. That's why when you hear the term, sometimes you'll hear favor's not fair. It's not that you're comparing yourself to what somebody else has, like, oh, they've got that. Favor ain't fair. I'm not getting that. It's no, favor is not fair, because favor is not based on what you do. Favor is based on who God is. So like this is, I want to define favor real quick. Favor is this. It's grace. Everybody say grace. It's unmerited goodwill. It's special kindness. It's aligning your life with God's blessing, grace, and will that positions you for increased influence, for supernatural turnarounds, for limitations that can be broken, for dreams that can be awakened, missed opportunities redeemed, and wide open new doors of divine possibilities. God has more for you. If you believe that, say amen. It's grace. If you look, you know, not to get technical, but if you look at Proverbs 3, the word that is used for favor right there, it's more often used, that same word is more often used in the Old Testament for grace. Grace, favor is just God's grace disposed upon you, delivered to you, given to you, so that you can do what you can never do in yourself. God's favor is on you. Grace is God's undeserved favor, his unmerited love. It's something that God gives us or does for us or enables us to do that we did not earn or deserve. It's also like this. G.W. Knight said this. When a person works an eight-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor. This is what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. Favor and grace is God's active presence in our lives. So look, this is not what it means. It is not name it and claim it. It's not you claim God's favor today and you have a Ferrari in your driveway tomorrow. It is, favor is recognizing God's presence, his active presence in your life right now, and how his active presence wants to continue to go. Okay, so it's God, you can be active in my finances and you can do things that I couldn't do. It's God, in the midst of suffering, you can be present with me here and you can help me cope with this. You can help me deal with this. You can help me supersede this. You can help me take this and learn what I'm supposed to learn from right now. I'm last night and this morning I was praying for a friend of mine. who got, yesterday they got a bad diagnosis about their 2 or 3 year old daughter. And they still have to go through tests, they have to figure things out, but it wasn't good what they received from the doctors. And as much as, and I started, last night, I started praying for God's touch on her life, God's divine healing upon her life. And God can do that, God wants to do that. But as much as I was praying for that, I was praying for him and his wife, that God, that they would be strong, that in the midst, there could be times in your life that you say, this doesn't feel like God's favor, but God's favor can come upon you in any scenario in life, any good time, any bad time. God wants to be there, and his favor will help you learn things, help you get closer with your spouse, help you get closer with the people in your life, help you learn things that you never could learn otherwise. God's favor takes bad things and it makes them good. God's favor says, you know what? He is a master tapestry weaver. He weaves these things together. He makes the worst things and he can make something beautiful out of it. So favor, it's not favoritism. It's not you have an edge on anybody else. It's no, we all have a Father who wants to give to us abundantly. But he gives when we ask. He gives when we expect. He gives when we approach him with faith. But it's a gift, and it's a gift that can be grown. My wife's really into gardening. And so... this is her first year that she really has a full garden, and some things have really gone well, and some things the squirrels have gotten, and so we're trying to deal with that. But a couple weeks ago, we went to a friend's house, and they have a small garden that they just started. And they said, Amanda, look, these peppers are from the seedling that you gave me. And so what happened is, Amanda grew peppers, and then she took some of the seeds that were from that, and she gave it to them, and then they started to plant it there, and then it started to grow. It was a gift that she gave them, and then when they planted it, it grew. Favor is a gift that God gives you, but how we steward it, we can grow that favor. Amen. We can walk higher in that favor. This is how... Luke chapter 2 puts it in the life of Jesus. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, he took favor from God and he grew in it. He took that favor. He was growing in favor. He was growing in grace. He was growing in the gift that God gave him. And so this favor, it's a gift that's not based on what you do. But once you receive that gift, once you say, you know what, you know, and I want to tell you something today. Some of us, we struggle with receiving favor. Some of us, we say, that's for them, but it's not for me. That's for the people who are doing the right things. They don't know what I do. Those are the people that look like that, but they don't know what I've done. They don't know what's been in my heart. They don't know what's in my past. No. Favor is unmerited grace. There's no merit to it. I didn't do anything to receive favor. You can't do anything to receive favor. But when you receive it, you can have a posture that says, yes, God, this is for me, and I want to grow in it. Anybody want to grow in favor today? So I just want to give us 2 points to pray for. I want to give us 2 things that we can walk out of this building that when you read Proverbs 3 on Tuesday, you'll look at it and you'll say, God, I want to pray these 2 things into my life. Number one, favor flows through relationships. Everybody say relationships. Relationships are the biggest sign of favor from God in your life. But oftentimes we don't recognize it. I was this is just the other day, you know, my wife and I, we both have crazy schedules. So a lot of times, if we're not intentional about our time, we could become, and it doesn't happen like this because we've really been intentional with our calendar, but we could become like ships in the night, you know? And so we're very intentional to not let that happen. And Friday, this is very kid of me, but I like roller coasters. And I'm scared of heights. I get so scared, and I clench up, I don't look at anybody, I don't talk, I just look at it, and then I go for like a minute of terrifying whatever that is, and I get off and I'm dizzy and I'm like, that was amazing. And so for like 4 or 5 weeks, we've had set on the calendar, hey, this day, you and me, we're going to Six Flags, and we're getting there like right when they open, and we're not leaving until they close. We're just riding all the rides. And then Thursday, thank goodness I looked on the website, because they close on weekdays once school starts. And I was brokenhearted. Yeah. So it's a long way to get where I'm going. So anyways, but Friday we were like, that's okay, we're gonna make the most of this day. Like, you and me get to be together, that's what we want, right? And so, yeah, amen. Aw, like, yeah. We were good. And so Friday rolls around, and we make a plan, and we're gonna go do this, we're gonna go do that. And she's like, you know what, I just need to stop. Can we stop at this one place? I just need to get something. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So we stop, and she goes in there, and different people have different concepts of time. And so time was going on, and for me it was a lot of time, and I was like, where is she? I was parked there, and then bulldozers were coming, and they forced me to move. And so I'm like, well, I'll move over here because surely she'll only be 5 more minutes. And that wasn't the case. And so time went on. I'm calling her, I'm texting, I go in, there's no response. And so she texts me, so I know she's okay, but I'm like, when can we go? And so time was going. And I didn't know this, but she ran into somebody that she knows, that has known her whole life, and they're talking, and they're having this deep, important conversation. But I'm in the car, like, I'm hungry, and I want our day to continue, and I don't want to sit in the car here. And so when she got in the car, I was like, I was hangry, and I'm like, what happened with all that time? What are we doing? But meanwhile, she was having this significant conversation. And two things happened there. One, she was so in tune with how God's favor flows in through relationships that she's like, wait, this is a God moment, because this person, I don't talk to them, they're bringing this deep stuff up, and it's an opportunity for me to invest in them. And then the other thing was happening, that I was diminishing the real investment of time that I had right there by me being mad for the next hour about that hour that was spent. Well, now I'm killing half the day. But I wasn't embracing what could happen right there. Can I tell you something? God has relationships in your life that you're supposed to sow into, but that you're supposed to be aware of. And that's where favor flows. Favor flows through the relationships in your life. But too many times we diminish them. Too many times we're wondering about what's next. Too many times we're not eye to eye, face to face with who God has for us right in our lives. Favor flows through relationships. So look, I wanna show you something. Could you put up the chart? When you have love and faithfulness, and you bind it around your heart, like the Bible says here, it starts this cycle of favor. It starts a cycle of favor in your relationships, for family, friends, for believers, for employers, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your strangers, with strangers. How do they see you in their lives? Do they see God's favor on you? Because they should. You should be an extension of God's favor to them. They should feel God's favor when you interact with them. Love and faithfulness, when it's bound around your heart, when you're embracing it, it starts a cycle of favor. That's what the Bible is saying. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. Then you will do that. So if you just embrace this, then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. It starts a cycle. Can I tell you something? The more that you embrace this, the more that your relationships will grow. And the more that your relationships will grow, the more you'll see the favor of God in them. Amen. Our relationships aren't just supposed to be superficial. It's not just supposed to be high and by. It's not just supposed to be the weather and pleasantries. No, no. They're supposed to be deep. They're supposed to be meaningful. There's supposed to be spiritual transaction that happens there. I recently watched a documentary about the comedian and actor Steve Martin. Everybody knows who Steve Martin is? And it's interesting because they say he was like bigger than the Beatles in the 1970s when he broke on the scene. And he talks about, he had a stand-up career, and then he stopped doing stand-up. He said, you know what, I have nothing else to say there, so I want to make movies. And so he started to make movies. And he was getting real successful, but he felt so lonely. And so he tells a story about how he went to Europe just on his own to try and figure himself out. And he didn't know what else to do, so he's in London. He didn't know what else to do, so he went to the movie theater. And he sits down to watch a movie, and the previews come on. And wouldn't you know it, one of the previews is with him. And he's watching it, and he's cringing. And then some kids in front of him, they say, oh, that's that guy, Steve Martin. And one of them says, I want to be like him. And he said to himself, he was thinking, no, you don't, kid. Because I have everything in the world, but I'm lonely and I don't know what to do about it. And so in the documentary, after he tells that story, they start to interview other people in his life. And this is what some of them said. He said, back then I wasn't mean with people. I was removed. I was always somewhere else in my head. A theater director described Martin as having a deep emotional distance. Tommy Smothers, a comedian, said, talking to Steve Martin is like talking to nobody. Like he wasn't there. He wasn't present. He said, I used to get great satisfaction from my work. It gave me my reason to respect myself. How many of you know work shouldn't be the reason that you respect yourself? And I realized that unless I was continually working, people wouldn't like me. And there's kind of emptiness left. So he says all that. So it's so interesting because the documentary was two parts. The first part, it ends on this sad note. It ends talking about this. And then the second part is completely different. And why is that? It's because he's got a friend that he sees every day. They live on the same block, and he's another comedian. They do these shows together. And it's like he's got a partner. And then he's got a wife, and he's got a child. And he talks about it. He's like, these relationships have kind of saved me. I didn't realize, he literally says this, I didn't realize life could be this good. It's a non-believer saying that. As believers, I feel like so many times we walk around life and we don't realize how good life can be. But what we have to do is we have to embrace the relationships in our life. We have to look them face to face. We have to say, God, this is a gift that you have given me. God, this is the way that your favor is gonna flow. God does not intend for you to be an island. God can speak to you on your own, but that's not where you're supposed to stay. God has the people in your life for a reason, but if you keep them at a distance, that distance will grow. The holy suggestion today is let that distance erase. Let that distance be gone. Let that distance just dissipate. Let the favor of God come in. Let the guard down. Let the barriers down. God wants to flow in your relationships. Second thing is this, and it's very much in the same way, but favor grows. It flows in our relationships, and it grows through stewardship. How often and how well are you stewarding the things that impact your relationships? See, too many times we accumulate things or possessions, material that does not accumulate. Relationships in your life are what accumulate. It says, bind these things together. There's a commentator says this, that we don't have it on the slide, but listen up. This proverb urges us to make covenant love the center of our lives by giving us images of a necklace. The necklace reminds us that unconditional love should always be with us. This image suggests that covenant love is as essential to life as the air, drink, and food that passes through us. Be mindful and intentional of what you're binding on your heart. When we don't realize that God's favor flows through relationships, then we start to view those things in the past as sources of pain or as sources of hurt or as sources of despair or betrayal. But when you realize, no, God works through those. And sometimes God works in spite of those. He takes those and he allows us to gain something good from something that might have initially been painful or hurtful or difficult. But God, you can help me grow through that. When you take that, then you don't have to have betrayal or envy or jealousy or anger or hurt or bitterness bound around your neck and your heart anymore. No, it can be full of love and faithfulness, of love and loyalty, of love and God, I'm gonna stay true to you. I had a friend who, one time we were talking about just very like nuances of life. He was showing me how he organizes his week. And he had a section in like his, what we would call our, like my stewardship map, the way that I organize my life. He had a section of strategic relationships. And so he had, you know, call this person and email this person and call this person. And then he had them scheduled in his calendar. And it was weird to me at the time. Because I was like, that seems forced. Like, it doesn't seem organic. I think that relationships should be organic. And he said, you know what? Being organic is good, but too many times, if we just label everything as organic, sometimes what's organic dies. And he said, I want to be, those are gifts that God has given me. I want to be intentional about it. And so, only if I'm intentional will things really happen. Because if I'm not intentional, then I'll start to become my default self. And my default self says, you know what, I'll do that tomorrow. Or you know what, I'll do that next week. Or you know what, they'll be fine. They don't really need me. But he realized, no, I have something to offer them, right? Because God has favored me. And they have something to offer me because God has favored them. And so he would map this out, and it was revolutionary for me because I said, God, I have not prioritized, I have not seen relationships in my life the way that you do. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I have love to offer from God, I have faithfulness, which also means loyalty. I have that to offer these people from God. And if I'm not offering it to them, I'm being selfish. Today, can I tell you, God wants you to open your heart up to extending a little more love, a little more loyalty. When you start to do that, that cycle of favor, it starts to grow. That cycle of favor, it starts to grow, and it starts to go out of proportion. You'll start to say, there are opportunities coming my way that I don't know how they wound up here. You'll start to say, you'll start to look back and you'll say, I don't know how I grew out of that season that I was in, but somehow it happened. It'll start to happen because you'll start to invest into the relationships, but you'll start to invest from the way that God sees them.